There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
Point 9 Chai FM. Warm welcome to another Baruch Hashem, another Erev Shabbos. Shechionu v'kiyumonu v'giyonu l'zman hazeh. We've managed to survive another week, Baruch Hashem, b'chasdei Hashem. And we're once again about to enter into the wonderful, wonderful world of Shabbos. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. It's an honor and a privilege to spend this time on Erev Shabbos with each and every one of you. Hopefully, we get something, we're inspired, we can grow, and we can make this Shabbos something unique and something special in our lives. As always, the show is brought to you today as a Refuah Shlema for various Cholim. For instance, Eliyahu Yochanan ben Shena Tema, Yosef Gershon ben Taiba, Yehuda Hillel Alevi ben Shulam Sleya, Chaim Alexander Gershon, Makoyin Ben Fredo, Shulamis Bas Devoira, Shulamis Leia, Bas Asna Tzivia, Bas Etka, Michal Chava, Bas Fega Aviva, and Lana Tevia, Bas Reina, Besoich, Shor, Choylei Yisrael, amongst all the other people, locally, overseas, anyone in Klaisel, who needs a refuah, who needs a Yeshua, who needs our Kodesh Baruch Hu's special caress, there's the Shem. And the schus of us coming together and studying Torah, everyone should be zecher to get exactly what they need from the Rabbani Shlom. So in this week's parsha, we have the terrible incident of Kiyah Ish Ben Seirah Meirah. The man will have a wayward and rebellious son. Now, in his actual commentary, actually to Sefer Bamidbar, so Rashi writes that Ish An Anashim is a singular title describing a distinguished person. Kiyele Ish, right? Accomplished man. The Meraglim, spies, that sort of left to do a reconnaissance tour of the Eretz Yisrael, were men of repute and stature when they left. Sadly, their positions did not save them from sort of plummeting to the nadir of slandering Eretz Yisrael. Where do we see that the father of the Ben Seirah Meirah is a distinguished member of the community? The Torah refers to him as Ish, right? Where is his Ishus manifest? So Maral Tzitz explains that it takes a strong, resolute man who's prepared to confront the truth, to be able to say, enough, his son is not educable. Nothing he does seems to work. Such a boy is, sadly, a rotten seed that, if left unchecked, will resort to the greatest sin, murder, in order to satisfy his desires. While this may be true, and indeed, the father is an Ish. What had happened to him years earlier when he decided to give in to his passions and marry a Yefastaya, a beautiful captive? He didn't exemplify his distinguished status then. Perhaps the Torah underscores the father's Ish status not as a plus, but rather as a contributory factor in the Ben Seirah's refusal to accept any sort of direction from his father. Unfortunately, such a scenario plays itself out more often than we actually care to consider. When the father criticizes his son's sort of unrestrained behavior, the young boy looks his father in the eye and says, "What about you? You were a distinguished member of the spiritual elite. Indeed, you were one of the few who were chosen to serve in the Jewish army. Then you went off and defer to your passion and marry a Yafastaya? Who are you to criticize my behavior when in fact your behavior doesn't serve as a good example? Apparently, the ish kind of plays both ways. If the father is such an ish that he was sufficiently spiritually committed to be selected for service, his behavior on the field of battle indicated a serious weakness. When such a person criticizes others, especially his son, it comes across as hypocritical. One should focus on self-reflection before actually passing judgment on others. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. Please stay with us. We're just getting started.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ki Tzeitze, Tov Shin Pei, as we prepare for another amazing, amazing Shabbos. And this Shabbos, of course, is the Shabbos, is the turn of Parshas Ki Tzeitze. Parshas Ki Tzeitze is full of all sorts of halachas, many, many, that describe interpersonal relationships between people. So let's talk a little bit about some really, really important interpersonal issues that often do crop up. There's a Gemara in Pesachim on page Kuf Yud Gimel Beis 113b that says, Shloisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sainan. There are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu detests. Ve'elchamehem, one of them is Haraya Dove Erva B'chaveroi, someone who sees that his friend, another Jew, did something wrong, umayid by yachidei, and he comes to the Besdin and alone by himself as a single witness, without another witness to testify with him, he testifies against him. And the Gemara says, and in the continuation it says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Shmuel bar Yitzchak in the name of Rav. So the Gemara wants to know, mut to listen, I say. Gemara says, you're allowed to hate that person. You see someone doing something wrong. So in terms of going to Beis Din and testifying by yourself, that's absolutely forbidden. Because by the laws of jurisprudence, nothing can be accepted by Beis Din, and certainly Beis Din cannot act unless there are two witnesses who create the reality of the story. Then Beis Din can trust them, believe them, question them, and decide what to do. But if there's only one witness, all you're doing is maligning the person without any effect. Beis Din can do nothing about it. And therefore, you're actually doing something quite wrong. You're speaking Lashon Hara, you're speaking bad about a person that cannot have any ramification because you're a single witness. So Gemara says you're allowed to hate that person who you saw doing something terrible. And brings a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim. Ki sireh chamor soynacha. If you'll see the donkey of your enemy roivets tachas masoy, sort of collapsing underneath its loads, right? So ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Chamor soynacha. What is my soyne? What kind of enemy is this? In Lema says more, if you want to say soyne nochri, that this person that you detest is a non-Jew, but that can't be, because we learned in a brisa, soyne sha'omru soyne Yisrael. The brisa repudiates that and says no. The person that we're talking about that you feel so negative towards is actually a Jew and not a non-Jew. So therefore, if it's a Jew, why are you hating him? The Gemara says El Pshita, it's therefore obvious Soine Yisrael, that this person you're hating is actually a Jew. And therefore the Gemara asks the classic question,
Umi Sharia Limasne, are you allowed to hate another Jew? Voksiv, the Pasuk says in Parshat Kedoshim, Lo sisna et achicha b'levavecha. You're not allowed to hate your brother, a fellow Jew, in your heart. So how could he hate this person? Ella, rather, must be the ika sade de Ovid Yisura. There are witnesses that saw, that witnessed him doing something forbidden. And they come to Beis Din, and they can conclusively testify against him, and therefore now he's classified as someone who's done something terrible, and therefore you're allowed to hate him. So why is it Seinacha? Why is it your enemy? Ask the Gemara. Kule Alma, Nami Misne Sanile. Someone does an Aveda, someone does a transgression, and it's now ratified and confirmed in Beis Din. So why just you? Anyone's allowed to hate him. My son and I, why does just this person hate him? Ella, rather we have to say, Lavkia Governor. It wasn't the case where there were actually two witnesses. What happened actually? Dechazia be'ihu dove erva. He by himself, as a single witness, saw this person doing something terrible, doing some horrible type of avera. So obviously he can do nothing about it. Because he's a single witness, he cannot come to Beis Din and testify him. Because as we said, it would be Lashon Hara. But he knows for sure, he saw with his own eyes this person doing something terrible. Therefore, he alone is allowed to hate him. Because he's the only one that can confirm that is absolutely sure that this terrible act took place. Well, it concludes, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says, not only is he allowed to, mitzvah l'snoisai. It's actually a positive commandment to hate this person. And he quotes a pasuk in Proverbs, the Mishnah Perches, Yiras Hashem sonei sarah. Someone who fears Hashem hates people who do evil things. If you are the witness, you see someone doing something terrible, you're not only allowed, it's a mitzvah for you to hate that person. The upshot of this Gemara is a tremendous, tremendous new idea regarding this whole concept. And it's explained and brought out, actually, by the words of the Meshech Chochma on the Pasuk in our Parsha, in this week's Parsha, where the Parsha says, Loisire eschamora chicha. You're not allowed to witness or see the donkey of your friend, Oy Shoyroi, or his ox, Noiflim Baderech. They fall along the road, Visalam Tamehim. Are you going to pretend it doesn't exist and just hide your eye and walk on and not aid that person? Hokem tokem imai. The verse instructs you. You must help him. You must help him right that animal. You must help him get up. You must come to the aid of that person. Right? And he says, if you think about it, there's something quite interesting here, because here the Torah talks about chamor achicha, the donkey of your brother. However, in the verse we quoted earlier from Parsha Mishpatim, in where it talks about the commandment of making sure you help your friend if his animal is struggling. There it says, Ki sin sireh chamor soinacha. You see the donkey of your enemy, Roy Veitz Takas Masai, crouching under his load. The chodal tome azoivlai. Are you going to hold back from helping him? Azoiv tazavizai, imai. You must certainly help him. So why in one place is it called chamor soinacha, the donkey of your enemy? And elsewhere he's called Chamor Achicha, the donkey of your brother. The Meshech Chokhmah explains it based on the what we've said in the following language. He says, because since the Gemara that we quoted above, the Gemara in the chapter of Avraham Pesachim, says that, ask the question, how are you allowed to hate this person? The Pasuk says, you're not allowed to hate. You may not hate your brother in your heart. And the Gemara establishes that the case we're talking about is where he saw him violating and doing an Avera. And that was before, right? This Parsha Mishpatim was said to the Jewish nation even before the sin of the golden calf, where at that time, all of the Jews were on the status of being Mamlechet Goy Kadosh. They were a kingdom of a holy, holy nation. So then, in that situation, when the Jews were on that exalted and high level, right after Matan Torah, right after giving the Torah, then one was allowed to hate someone if they saw that he did an Avera. But once all the tests that the Jews had thrown up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and unfortunately they had been done so many Averas, so there, if you see someone, a fellow Jew who did an Avera, if you take a good look, hard look at yourself, you'll find that you also have done many, many Averas. How can I hate this person? But this detail or that detail. And therefore, it's also to hate such a person. Only someone who himself is such a person who stays away from all evil and is a tzaddik, a perfect tzaddik in his ways, then you're allowed to hate. But of course, it's almost impossible to find a person like that. And that's what the Gemara says in Sukkah. I've seen great people, but they're only very, very few. And therefore, it says, Achicha. This is one Rampanach. We'll come back in a moment with much, much more. One Rampanach, soul to soul, we're back on your radio. We are discussing the difference between enemies and fellow Jews. In other words, we just brought the explanation of the Meshech Chokhmah, and what he seems to be saying is as follows, that in Parsha Mishpatim, where the Torah defines the person whose enemy, whose ox is struggling as your enemy, so that was talking about before the Jews committed the crime of the golden calf. And that's the way the order of the Parshas is. That's the Egel is described in Parshat Ki Tisa, and this is Mishpatim. So this was before, right? And therefore, it says that according to the situation that the Jewish nation were at that time, they were great people, they were perfect people, they had just stood at our Sinai. And therefore, in that situation, if you see someone from that exalted position that the Jewish nation was, and you saw someone doing an Avera, a real faux pas, something that really was against what they had just learned at our Sinai, you were allowed to hate that person. However, in our Pasuk, in our Pasha, which was written, obviously, after the sin of the golden calf, there the Parsha talks about your brother, because the Jewish nation was after the sin, and therefore, before you start hating someone, you have to check, are you so perfect? Is it not possible you yourself are doing very similar things? How can you hate this other person? And that's why the Meshech Chokhmah writes that, that which we find when it says that if you see a davar erva, you see a friend doing something terrible, you're allowed, or perhaps the Gemara says, even though it's a mitzvah to hate him, that's only someone, right, who himself is completely righteous in his own deeds, in his own ways, and he himself, there's no imperfection, there's no areas where he himself might be a little bit less than perfect, which the only time we found such a situation, on a general rule, was during the time when the Jews, right after they received the Torah at our sinner, before the sin of the anger, that they were all a mamleches kainin, they were all a kingdom of great people, of holy people. And therefore, it's correct that the Torah says that if you see the donkey of your enemy, because at that time it was possible that they could hate another Jew, that one Jew could hate another Jew. In other words, that when the enemy himself was complete a person, because we were so complete, therefore we had the right to look down on someone who committed an atrocity. However, after the sin, where all the Jewish nation were unfortunately guilty of various sins themselves, so therefore, if a person sees his friend that he's doing an Avera, so you got to take a good hard look at your own actions, and you'll find, unfortunately, that there are a bunch of skeletons in your own cupboard, that there's many, many things that you yourself are not so perfect in, many things that about your own behavior that could raise eyebrows that are quite questionable, right? Whether it be in this detail or that area. And therefore, it's forbidden to hate a person like that. And of course, today, nowadays, it's virtually impossible to find such a perfect person. And therefore, the Torah says, Torah calls him Achicha, your brother, your brew, your brethren, because you generally will not be able to find in our situation such a perfect person who himself is so above any level of iniquity that he would be allowed to hate a wrongdoer, look down on someone and say, wow, you are despicable. I am basically, not in an arrogant way, I have the right to see someone who's doing Averis as being much lower than me and despise him. Only when you see that person doing an Averis. Something similar to this we find in Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, in the third Shar, Ois Reish Yotes, regarding the allowance in the Torah, the permit in the Torah, to embarrass someone who is what he calls a Baal Avera, a habitual person who's constantly violating Averas. And Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows: if the sinner is a person who really has no fear of God, like someone who's basically thrown off from himself the yoke of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his God, basically he has repudiated Malchus Shamayim, the fact that God's kingdom is ever dominant, and he's not careful from even one particular sin that he does on a regular basis, and everyone in his town, everyone who knows him, is aware that this is something that is forbidden to do, and he is doing it wantonly and kind of with abandon, then you're allowed to shame that person and to speak negatively about him. And this is, in fact, what our rabbi said in the Gemara in Bava Metzia on page Nun Tes 59a. It says, Pasuk says, Velotonu ishet achiv, or ishet amito. A person is not allowed to malign or speak badly one person about his fellow. So it says, as someone, what does it mean, es amito? It means someone, it says, im she'itcha betorah mitzvos. Someone who's a fellow of yours and is also aligned in the fact that he subscribes to accepting the Torah and fulfilling the mitzvahs. So then, such a person, you are not allowed to oppress, you're not allowed to denigrate with words. But someone who pays no attention, who pays no heed to the word of Hashem, such a person you're allowed to shame because of his actions and to make known all of the disgusting things that he does and to heap scorn upon him. In fact, furthermore, the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma on page Peivav 86b, says, Mefarsamim Esachanofim. You're allowed to publicize those who are flatterers because Chilul Hashem, they cause a tremendous desecration of Hashem's name. And he continues later, and he writes, even though that it is a mitzvah to publicize those who do averus, and literally against their own souls and those who flatter, however, someone who just does a sin, because that is the want of human beings, that none of us are perfect, and we all, unfortunately, do sins, so then you are not allowed to publicize that. Because clearly, if you do that, your intention is in revealing his hidden things is not a positive intention. It's only to sort of gloat at his downfall and make him look bad to your own advantage. That you can't do. And secondly, how can you not be embarrassed to mention about someone else the sins he may have done when you yourself do the same things? How can I embarrass someone when I'm tainted with the same exact brush? So what Rabbi Yonah is actually saying is that even in situations where there is an allowance to embarrass and to perhaps hurt a person with words, because with someone who doesn't, because we're talking about someone who is completely alienated and completely distanced himself from Jewish observance and Jewish faith and Jewish belief, right? So that is only permissible when the person who's embarrassing himself, right, is not doing those type of things. If you yourself are the kind of person who's involved in the same kind of activities and the same kind of behavior, so how can I go and embarrass such a person when you yourself are doing the same things? Similarly, there's it's brought in the responsa of the Maritz in Eben HaEzer, Simon 43, based on what Chazal say in Gemara in Sanhedrin. Reish Lakish says that if someone raises his hand against another Jew to hit him, even though he didn't actually hit him, he's called a Rasha. He's called an evil person. As the Pasuk says, he quotes a verse in the beginning of Parshat Shemot where Moshe Rabbeinu sees two Jews fighting and he says to the Rasha, Lama sakariyacha, why are you hitting your friends? And the Maharit asks, why is he called a Rasha? Because he wanted to hit him. He didn't hit him. It says that if he's called Amcha, if he acts like a Jew, how can you call him a Rasha? So the Gemara, he brings this Gemara at the end of in Bava Metzia on page 73, where it says, if Ra'isai Noyeg Shaloi Keshura, how do you know if you see someone behaving improperly? Minayan Shataroisha Lishabdoi. How do you know that you're allowed to sort of take them as captives, even as slaves? And he brings a pasuk in Pashabar, Uva'achechem b'nei Yisrael. Your brethren who are acting like B'nai Yisrael, there you're not allowed to take advantage of them. In other words, that if we're talking about evil people, let's say like Datan and Aviram were nemesis of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were the two people that were fighting between them, and both of those two were Rishayim. So why was it forbidden for one of them to raise his hand against his friends? So on that, he answers and says, because since you also are a Rasha like him, so then you can't hit him. You can't call him names, because you yourself do exactly the same thing. And even though the one who was being hit was also a Rasha, since, right, they're both Rashaim, therefore, you're not allowed to hit him, you're not allowed to malign him. In other words, that the allowance to hit someone who doesn't do something properly, who's not acting the way a Jew should act, is only applies and is only permitted when the person doing the hitting is someone who only does good things, who acts like a proper Jew, and then vis-a-vis the other person, then you can perhaps hit him. So therefore, perhaps you can explain then the distinction between chamor sonacha, the donkey of your enemy, which is mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim, to the chamor achicha, the donkey of your brother, which is mentioned in Parshas Ki Tzeitse, by bringing as an introduction the words of the Gemara in Tainis on page Chof at the end of Amud Aleph. Maise once happened, Shebo Rabbi Loza ben Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Loza, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, was traveling mi Migdal Gadur, mi Beis Rabbi. He was on the way home from his Rebbe's house, v'yorochav al hachamor, and he was riding on a donkey, u'metayar l'asfas hayom, and he was walking along the seashore, v'samach simcha gedayla. And he was very happy. He had just come back from his Rebbe. He was full of Torah, full of the joys of life. And he was in an elated mood. For he said, "Date gasolov." And he felt a little bit arrogant. Mipnei shalomat Torah harbe. Because he had learnt lots and lots of Torah. Nizdam le'adam echad. He was accosted by a certain person, Shaya mechoya b'yoyser, who looked to be a very ugly type of person. Amalai. The person said, "Shalom Alecha Rebbe, welcome Rebbe." And Rabbi Lozal Leich Zilei, he didn't return the greeting. So he said to him, "Reka, you empty person, Kamo Mechoya Aisish, how ugly you are. Shema Kobnei Ilcha Mechoya in Kamoska, is everyone in your town as ugly as you are?" Amalos, and the man answered him, "Ain yadeh? I don't know why. Ella lech ve'emor lo'umon shasisi. Go tell the craftsman who made me, Takarish Baruch Hu, kama mochaya klizeh shasisa. What an ugly vessel you made." Since Rabbi Loza suddenly realized shechota, he suddenly realized that he had sinned. Yoreh ben Achamor, he got off his donkey, then he shtatech lefonav, he prostrated himself before him. And Va'amulai said to him, "Neneisi lechom mecholi, please, please, I realize I've done something wrong. Please forgive me." Amulai said, "Eini moichlecha, I'm not going to forgive you. Ad sheteilech l'uman chasani, until you go back to the artisan who made me, ve'emeloi nisei to him, kamo mechoya klizeh shasisa. How ugly is this vessel that you made?" And Hayametailach Rabbi Loza followed the person home, ad shigiel iroi, until he got to his city. Yatzu bnei ir lekrasa. So of course all the people, Rabbi Loza Bishim was coming, everyone went to meet him. Vayomla said to him, "Oh, shalom lecha Rebbe, Rebbe Mayri, Mayri, welcome my dear teacher and Rebbe." Amalem, so the other man said to him, "Lemi atem koyin Rebbe, Rebbe, who are you calling Rebbe?" Amalai, "Lezeshem tailach recha, the person who's following you." Amalem said to him, "Imzer Rebbe, if this is called a Rebbe, al yirbu kumaisav Yisrael, there shouldn't be many like him in the Jewish nation." So I said to him, "Bifnei ma, why?" Amalem, he said to him, "Kachva kachvasa," he described the whole story. Amalai said to him, "Ava biken, nevertheless, mecholai, forgive him, she'adam gadol b'torahu, he's a great man and has studied a great deal of Torah. Amon Ami said to him, "Bishvilchem harenu moicholay. For your sake, I'll forgive him. Ubilval shelo yerog lasos kef. But you must be careful never to do something like that again." Miyad nichnas Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon. V'dara straight away. Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shimon expounded la'olam ye adam rach. The kind of person should be supple, like a reed v'aliyah koshak erez, not be harsh like a cedar tree. And therefore, he was zoche, merited to take from him a kumas. He took a feather pen, lichtoy by sefer Torah tvil mezuzos. When you were a subtle like that, then he was able to take a feather pen and write a sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos. Rav Tzadik HaKoyim Lublin explains in Pri Tzadik. He says that Chazal is obviously not talking about that he was physically ugly, but it was an inner ugliness. That Rabbi Loza saw that this person was a Baal Aveira. He did a terrible Aveira, so therefore he didn't want to even greet him. And he gave him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he comes from a place where they all do Aveiras, and they all have the same ugliness. They're all Baal Echet, they all do Aveiras like him. And therefore, he's sort of just following the crowd and doing what they do. However, he responded to Rabbi Loza and he said, "Go back to the craftsman who made me." In other words, that there is a person who is born with certain good qualities, right? And has a desire to do good and straight. However, there are some people that are born with sort of a very, very difficult and negative nature and are inexorably drawn to sin. And it's much, much more difficult for him to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rabbi Loza has no right to judge him because he doesn't know the greatness, the enormity of the tests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in front of him when he created him with this very, very difficult nature with a sort of a penchant to doing bad. And therefore, we can explain and we can say that in Parshas Mishpatim, which was said before the Chet HaEgel, and when Klai Yisrael was on this very, very, very high level, and they were not even, they got to the level of Adam Rishon before the sin. They were completely pure from the original sin of the Eitz Hadas. And they were on the level of Adam Rishon before he ever did the Aveira, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually said to them, Hashem said, "You are almost like God." In other words, that they were on such a madrega, they were on the madrega of malachim, of angels. And therefore, if nevertheless a pure Jew and a holy Jew does an Aveira, so then it makes sense to hate him. Because how could a person on such a high level do sins? However, in Parshas Kisetze, which was said after the chet of the egel, and they had lost that tremendous, tremendous high. Therefore, it says, Chamor Ochicha. Because after a sin, where unfortunately they were once again reunited with the poison of the sin of Adam Rishon, and their bodies were now defiled, and now they all became ugly and physical and easily drawn to evil. Therefore, you cannot hate someone who is besmirched by sin. This is 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be back in a moment with a few more closing comments on this topic.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, soul to soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ki Seitzei Tov Shin Pei. Hey, as we get ready for another amazing, amazing Shabbos Kodesh, thank you all for joining us. Just before we go to our Hilchos Shabbos, just a few closing comments to finish off the idea we've been talking about. So therefore, the distinction that the Pasuk makes before with the status of the Jewish nation before the sin of the golden calf to after the sin of the golden calf was said specifically regarding chamor sonacha, the donkey of your enemy, and chamor achicha, the donkey of your brother. Why? Because the donkey represents physicality of the body. And the distinction is whether he's sonacha or achicha is dependent on the physicality of our own bodies, because before the sin of the golden calf, the body was absolutely pure and was drawn naturally to do good things. And therefore, it was absolutely appropriate that someone who in that status was actually allowing himself to be dragged down and do sins, you were allowed to hate that person. Because he was in such a situation with everything going for him, he allowed himself to be dragged down to chait. That is truly hateful. However, after the sin of the golden calf, where our physicality became so strong and we ourselves became so drawn to the physical world, it's forbidden to hate any sinner, but rather lechlu mancha sasani. Go back to the craftsman who made it. What do we know about the tests and the difficult nature that a person has? How do we know what draws a person? What are the temptations? What are the difficulties? What are the challenges? What gives us the right? And besides the fact that we ourselves are tainted with sin, what gives us the right to hate any other Jew? And as far as this story that we brought with Rabbi Loza, so Rashi and Tosis both bring that sort of ugly person was in fact Eliyahu HaNavi. And why was it that Hashem sent Eliyahu HaNavi to teach Rabbi Loza this lesson? So it works with what we're saying, because there's a medrash in Vayikra Rabbah that says in different places, it's brought that Rabbi Kohen and Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Simon, named Rabbi Levi, said that in the past, the person would do a mitzvah and the Navi, the prophet, would write it down. But now, we don't have prophets, and therefore a person does a mitzvah. Who's going to write it down? We don't have any prophets to write it down. So therefore it says, what happens now? Says, Eliyahu and Melech HaMashiach, and Melech HaMashiach, they write it down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chosem ayidem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs off on it. As it says, Oz nidberu yirei Hashem ishtoreihu. Then the God-fearing men spoke one to another. Vayakshev Hashem, Hashem listened. Vayishman, he heard. Vayikosei b'seif v'zikon lefonim. And he wrote it down in the book of memories before him. And says Rabbi Yechiel bar Yekusiel, bar Binyamin Haroife, in his book Milas Hamidus, In the chapter on Gemilas Chasadim, he writes, and if a person thought to do some act of chesed or any kind of a mitzvah, and because of circumstances beyond his control, he was not able to do the mitzvah, it's still considered as if he did it, and he will receive reward for it. And who's going to write it down? Eliyahu HaNavi says, and Chazal say that Eliyahu, we know, is Pinchas. Pinchas became Eliyahu. That if it wasn't for him, so we would not be able to survive in this galut. Because from the day the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so they bring in Shemayim, they bring two kabanot tamid every single day. And they write on the skins of those animals all the mitzvahs and all the righteousness that the Jewish nation does every single day. The Chidah brings this also. So therefore it comes out that Eliyahu HaNavi always is looking to find benefit, to find good things, to find laudable things about the Jewish nation. And therefore, when he saw that Rabbi Elazar was upset about this person who, unfortunately, because of his nature, because of his surroundings, was besmirched in sin, therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi wanted to teach him that don't get upset at people, because Lech Luman Shasasani, you have a problem, go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him with those particular tests, with that particular nature, for whatever reason. And Hashem did. And that's why they have this difficulty. And who knows why and what might have been the cause that drags them down to sin. What a powerful, powerful lesson as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. You know, we tend sometimes to be so judgmental of other people. We look sort of down the end of our nose. Oh, that person, that group, that type of person. Oh, what an ugly person they are. How terrible are their deeds. They don't even begin to reach my ankles. I'm much more devout. I'm much more involved. I do kindness. I care about people. And look at them. They seem to be so completely indifferent. Whoa. Before we start to judge any other human being, before we make sort of sweeping statements or sweeping judgments about how we perceive a person to be. So first of all, number one, what gives us the right to judge other people, to condemn other people, to speak Lashon Hara, to speak negatively about the actions? Are we so perfect? Right? Are we not, you know, how's the English statement go? About people in glass houses who shouldn't throw stones, right? We have the say, okay, maybe we don't do exactly the same actions, but many things we do stem from the same imperfections, from the same bad midot, from the same negative character traits, from the same desires we have to do physical things in this world that are perhaps against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can we sort of pass judgment or turn our noses up or down at another person when in fact we're doing definitely the same type of things? We're not so perfect. When it was before the sin and the golden calf, they were perfect people and they had the right to then condemn someone who from that plateau allowed himself to sink to sin. Yes, I can understand that was something that needed to be condemned. However, in our situation, who are we to pass judgment on another person? How do we know anything about the circumstances of a person's life? How do we know his difficulties, his hardships, his challenges, the deck of cards that he was sort of dealt out by a Kaddish Baruch? You have a problem? You're going to have to go back and discuss it with the Uman Shasasani, with the craftsman who made it. And that's what El is about. It's not about looking at other people. It's really the time to come back and take a good hard look in the mirror at oneself. What am I? Where am I going? Where am I not going? What am I doing? What do I need to correct about myself before I start looking at other people? Let me look at myself and make a plan. How I'm going to correct myself, how I'm going to grow. What areas are the most glaring deficiencies in my own character? How can I change? How can I correct myself? What am I going to do to stand in front of my Kodesh Baruch Hu in just less than 3 weeks' time on Rosh Hashanah and say to him, Hashem, I've made a plan. I want to improve. I want to become Achicha. I want to become Hashem, your buddy, your brethren, close to you. May Hashem give us the power and the energy and the impetus and the motivation to use these 2 weeks plus to really have that conversation with ourselves, a hard conversation, And please God, may we then be inspired to truly desire to change, truly desire to grow and become the kind of people who not only are super proud of ourselves, but are now ready to march forwards and become the great people that we all are able and all are destined, please God, to become. This is 101.9 Chai FM, the program is Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pashas Kiseitze Tov Shin Pehe, as we come to our final minutes of our time together. We haven't yet had a chance to share and talk about the important times and details of this coming Shabbos. So let's do it right now as we close out the show. First of all, the earliest time for benching licht this afternoon is at 4:44, just before 4:45. That's the time that we need to aim for. This is the time where we can actually take a few minutes from Friday and dedicate them to Shabbos, make them part of Shabbos, get the house ready, get ourselves ready, get all the food on, and then just light the candles and let Shabbos permeate your home. Let it permeate your environment. Let it permeate your soul and spend that beautiful, blissful time together with your family, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The latest time for benching licht, if you don't make the earliest time, is 5:39. 5:39 is the absolute latest time for lighting candles. And yes, there is 18 minutes after that until sunset. But of course, as we always say, that is emergency time. Only in a desperate situation where, barring that, you would actually maybe perhaps break Shabbos. That is a different thing. We have to regard 5:39 as our deadline. All the food needs to be ready. We need to be dressed. Candles need to be lit. Ideally, we should be in shul ready so we can daven mincha with a minyan. And Shabbos then begins. Shkia then is at 5:57, 3 minutes before 6. Therefore, if you want to make sure that you're davening Ma'ariv tonight after it's properly night, so you don't have to repeat the Shema again, all you have to do is wait until 6:15, 6:15 is already night, and you can daven in minyan, obviously, if with your shul, most shuls will daven after that point, and you can then come home and join the family and join friends and whoever it is for a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos meal as we celebrate the opportunity of to have completed another week and enter HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful, beautiful Shabbos world. Tomorrow, we lay in Pashas Ki Seitzei, of course, is full of so many different mitzvahs, many of them involving interpersonal relationships. Certainly worth our while and time to spend a bit of time going through the Pasha, read through the Rashis. There's so much information to be gleaned over there. And of course, the Haftarah is the Haftarah of week number 5. Of the special 7 Haftaras between Tisha B'Av and the Rosh Hashanah. It's the Haftarah of Roni Akara, the twin Haftarah of what we read two weeks ago. And then the Shabbos carries on. We're getting close. You know, that's next Motzei Shabbos is already the beginning of Slichas. El is running so quickly we can't even keep up with it. Tomorrow, of course, we will read Pirkei Avos. We will do Perek Aleph and Beis because there are only 3 more Shabbos left until Rosh Hashanah. You want to finish it. So we'll double up. We'll do 2 this week, 2 the next week, and 2 the following week. And then Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 6:29 is the end of Shabbos. And we go forward into another action-packed week getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. That really is all the time we have. I want to thank you all for joining us, for being part of our radio family, and to wish each and every one of you an amazing, amazing Good Shabbos. Kol Tov.